Okay. Last time we spoke about serious, very serious stuff, like the servant's attitude and dedication and humility and sacrifice, and it's all heavy stuff. You need to think about it and really work at it. So today, let's try to make it a bit more, a bit lighter, if you will. So the idea here is presentation techniques. The idea here is simply, what do you think you should do and what do you think you should not do in class when you're delivering the lesson? And this, again, is built on Acts chapter 20, because one of the things that St. Paul mentioned to the elders of Ephesus is the ability to teach. A person delivering a message has to have the aptitude of teaching. And of course, we all know the title we use with St. Paul in Arabic. What do we say in Arabic for St. Paul? No, in Arabic, yeah, we say Mu'allimna Bulus, right? Mu'allimna. So in order to carry this title of teacher, and we know that his teachings have lasted now 2,000 years and still going strong, we're trying to learn and apply them, so he must have been a pretty good teacher. So let's see what it is that we ought to do or not to do when we teach. My first question to you, when I say teach, what does teach mean to you? When you say you're teaching, what are you doing? What do you think? What are you trying to do when you say I'm teaching? What are you doing? Okay, delivering a message, okay. What else? In two words, teach. What is teach? Lead by example. Can I have your autograph? Okay. Yeah, teaching is exactly that. It's transfer of knowledge. Knowledge transfer or knowledge transmission. That's teaching, right? So in other words, if I fail to transmit my knowledge to you, then I've wasted everybody's time, right? It's wasting time if I can't transmit or transfer this knowledge. Okay, so having agreed on this, I think, let me ask you now. First of all, now we're Sunday afternoon. Do you know, next Sunday, God willing, at 12 o'clock, you have a lesson to deliver. What do you think is the first thing you should do now? You're delivering a lesson next Sunday, right? What is the first thing that comes to your mind that you should start doing now? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know what? We usually say the word pray and prayer without thinking much, but you wouldn't believe in the power of prayer. The power of prayer is incredible. I promise you, I tried it. So the first thing I would do when I'm preparing for a task is pray for it. Especially as the knowledge I'm trying to transmit is the Word of God. So it makes sense to pray to help me transmit that. Okay, so the first thing I'm doing is pray for that. What is the second thing I should do? Again, starting today, for next Sunday. What do you think? I'm delivering a message next Sunday. Read about it. Prepare. Right? So I start by praying, and then I prepare. Okay. Now I'm delivering a message to students, regardless of their age. They could be very young, old, teenagers. It doesn't matter. There is a certain consideration that I have in mind when I prepare for those students. What is this consideration? What are you thinking of? What do you think you should do when you're delivering a message to them? Okay, yes. Talk to them at their level. Voila, exactly. Can I have your autograph too? Yeah. You should try to, or I must try to address their needs. Otherwise, I have no interest. If I'm talking above their heads, forget it. So I try to address their needs. So how do I do that? I have this week in the middle, right? So to make sure that when I go in, I do address their needs, what can I do during this week? Voila, yeah. Outreach. Reach out to the students on a one-by-one, on a personal basis. And I might need to reach out to the parents, too, to tell them what I'm trying to do, so that we all are on the same wavelength. Okay, very good. So now I prayed, I prepared the lesson, I reached out to the students. Now it is Sunday, next Sunday. I'm having breakfast. I know that at 12 o'clock my lesson starts. What should I do? What is the first thing that comes to mind? I'm eating now, I have 25 minutes left. What must I do? Okay, yes, prayer. But let's say, do I go to class at 12 o'clock? No, you don't go to 12. What time do you go to class? Voila. That's very good. So there's now three people. I need their autographs. Okay. So if I'm starting my class at 12 o'clock, I should make sure that 10 to 15 minutes before 12, I am in class. Now, why would I do that? What's the point? I mean, they're coming at 12. Why do I go early? Yes, exactly. So I go early to set up the class. And actually, it's very important. I go early to lead by example, as I think you said, so that when I demand that they be punctual, I am saying, I am punctual too. And the third important thing is, it is very important for me to be in class to greet the students when they come in. So it's a personalized lesson. It's not just a lesson, yalla, yalla, yalla. No, no. It's a personalized lesson. Okay, very good. I'm saying all that, we're discussing it, then we'll go through the presentation. And hopefully we finish before sunset, but it's okay. Okay, so now I'm in class. I set up the class, the students came, I greeted them. What do you think, what are the important things I should do? What should I start by telling them? Let's say. They came now and sat in class and I had prepared a lesson for them. I think the lesson is pretty important, right? So what should I tell them? What would I expect them to ask me as they come in? Yes. Okay. Icebreaker, voila. Okay, what else? Yeah.
So the title of the lesson.
The title of the lesson. Do you know, I'll tell you something, and I learned this about, 5-6 years ago. I attended a Sunday school class here, and it was a class for, high teenagers, like 17, 16, 17 or so. And the teacher, to his great credit, he had gone through a lot of trouble. He went to great lengths to prepare the lesson. And he prepared a great lesson, no problem. But you know what hit me? What hit me is one of his students, he was actually the most active one in class. You know what he said? He said, "Uncle, why do I learn this? Why do I have to know this?" And yeah, the teacher tried to answer, but... So this is the first thing that I must bear in mind. When I go in class, I must have the answer ready. I must tell them, I'm giving you this lesson, we're discussing this today because that's what you're supposed to learn, and this is how you're expected to apply it in your life. This is the practical part. Okay? Okay, so let's see what we have here. Yeah, remember, we said that. What we're trying to achieve is successful transmission of the program. We said that last time. Okay. Next one. I put here a list of what I called essential elements of lesson presentation, okay? The first thing we discussed, that timing, pre-class, be punctual, do not waste class time, and do not waste their time at the expense of your setting up. Everything must be ready to go as soon as they walk in. Now, my attitude is very important. I must be lively and alert. I cannot expect to get their attention if I walk in and say, "Oh, Diawala, sit here. What do we do now?" And you know, if I start this way, forget it. So I have to be lively and alert. Now, you need to keep moving. Your posture is important. You have to inspire your students. You have to let them pay attention to you, right? You have to know the audience, and we said that. Be attuned to their needs, and we said that before, right? You need to captivate the audience and maintain their interest. Once one of your students starts looking at the time and starts saying, if one loses interest, it will be very difficult to regain that interest. It has to be from the start, from the beginning. Now, one of the things that they say about your Sunday school class is to change technique. And we'll get into those details a bit later. Change technique, what does it mean? It means that one day, the lesson can be like a presentation, and we discuss it. Next time, we'll say, oh, we'll do something different now. Let's sit in a semicircle, and let's discuss things on a one-on-one. No presentation. Next time, maybe I can have two groups and have them debate a certain point, and so on. We need to change techniques. In other words, I need to be unpredictable, okay? They must be coming in and say, ah, I wonder what's he going to do this time, you know? Then, general conduct in class, bad habits. I'll tell you a bad habit. This, incidentally, the presentation techniques, I took once, it was a one-week course, 40 hours, and we're trying to put it in 20 minutes. And one of the things one of the instructors had, he had a bad habit of having his hand in his pocket and playing with his money, with his change. It was very irritating. We were in the class, we found that very irritating because we were all focused on his pocket. We couldn't hear what he said. But he was not aware of that. So you should be aware of any bad habits you have. Someone might always do like this, or scratch his head, or whatever. So be conscious of such habits. Okay. So let's go into a bit more detail of these things. We said that pre-class we pray, lots of preparation time. We need to be punctual, prepare the class before the lesson. Do not waste their time at the expense of setting up. We said that, right? And we agreed on that. I think we agreed. Okay, next one. You need to be lively and alert. Do not ever give the impression that you prefer to be somewhere else. In other words, I am bored. I'm just here doing you a favor. Bad impression. Don't ever give that impression. Or I'm tired. I'm sick. If you're sick, find a replacement. But do not go into class and say, I'm tired and sick, give me a break. No. Bad idea. I'm in a hurry, or I'm bored. I'm doing you a favor. All of these things give your students an impression that they come in secondary place, that they're not important, which is the opposite of what you want. You want to tell them you are important. They should not go home with the impression that I am unimportant and the teacher was not happy to be with me. Okay, next one. Intonation and movement. You should not remain fixed in one spot. Move around, right? And you know what? The danger of being fixed in one spot, they become used to you. You become like a chair or a desk. You're fixed in one spot, and again, you lose interest. You have to keep moving to keep them alert. So you keep moving, change your voice, say a joke once, laugh, stop, and so on. Keep changing. to maintain their interest. And also you need to talk passionately to transfer a message. We said before, do not try to appear bored. You are passionate about something. To impart a discussion to you, I need to be passionate. You have to see this passion in me to get your attention and to get you thinking about it. And always make eye contact. You know, talk to each one. Not to the same person all the time, he'll get irritated. But keep eye contact with each person. Any thoughts? So? I'm talking all the time, that's not good. Anyone has any ideas, any thoughts? No? Yes, sir. Actually, that's a very good point. And one thing that perhaps can help in that respect is the outreach on a one-on-one basis during this week or 2 weeks or X amount of time before. So when they come into class, you know exactly her level of understanding, her level of understanding, his level of understanding. So you have this in mind. You know that when I say this, she will be excited, but he won't very much catch on. So he sends something else to get the same message across to him. And if you can succeed in doing that, then you have gained them both. Then they would know that you care for each one. And I guess that's the difference. Maybe one thing you can make to them. There is a difference between a classroom in school and a classroom in Sunday school. You do not want, at least I don't think, it's a good idea to have them come into the Sunday school class with the same attitude and expectation as the school. In other words, this is Sunday school. This is school. That's the schoolroom. You are sitting there. I'm the teacher. I speak. You listen. I know. You don't know. If you don't do this, I'll report you. This kind of ambiance in school. I should try to give the impression in Sunday school that it's not like that. It's not that I speak and you listen. We discuss together and we share. It's not that I know and you don't know. You might know something, tell me about it. If I know something, I'll tell you about it. We are all children of God, so we can sit in a semicircle so as not to have this confrontation, if you will. So there are things you need to think about, depending on the age group you have. But I understand what you're saying. You have different backgrounds. You need to address each one separately, not as a group. I agree. Again, I fully agree. There are perhaps a couple of things that can be said. For the very young ones, it is probably very important to get the parents on board. The parents need to be exactly on the same wavelength as you are. Because I know, unfortunately, some parents feel, please God forgive me, some parents feel that Sunday school, yalla, it's like a babysitting, it doesn't really matter. So you should get the parents on board that this is not a babysitting facility. You're trying to impart knowledge to them that would change their life. So this takes time. I agree. The other thing is, the other thing you can try to do with the young ones is activities. I've seen that in many books and websites and so on. Activities for the young ones, get them either act, do an act, a skit, draw, stand up in front of the class and say something. You know, something to, again, to keep their minds away from the fact that this is babysitting or this is school. It's neither this nor that. It's something else. And it's different. It's difficult. I agree. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Yes, sir. You branch out. That's another thought. I'll tell you what, because I've instructed in other fora, including Sunday school, there's a couple of things to bear in mind. I should come into my Sunday school class with a plan B in my pocket. Okay, I must always have a plan B in my pocket, in case something happens, in case the class is disrupted, in case we're late, I need a plan B to say, hey, let's do this, or whatever, change, do something else. So that's one thing. The other thing, depending on your age group, I think we should not be afraid or we should not hesitate to say, I'll check on this, I'll give you the answer next time, or I'll call you during the week. But let's continue with our lesson, for example. The third thing is, maybe you're off on a side track, which is good. Maybe you want that. You know, maybe it's not a bad thing. So you have to, there can't be a sort of a fixed rule, but there are ideas. You know, you have options. But I think probably the most important thing is a plan B. You need a plan B in your pocket. In case what you're saying doesn't work, you have to switch, do something else. And also many psychologists will tell you that the reason you have sometimes hyperactive students in your class is because that student needs attention. What he's really doing is trying to get attention. So if I have a difficult student in my class, get him to lead. Tell him, oh, hey, come help me do this. I don't know how to do that, even if you know how. I don't know how to do that. Or can you lead this group? Sit with these two guys. They don't really know very well. Can you help them out? Or get him to do something that gets attention. Okay. Any other thoughts? Yes? Yeah, it's, well, the thing is, the idea, I understand what you're saying. The idea is not to show favoritism. That's not favoritism. You're simply getting him to do something to get his, to let him feel that he's getting attention. Next time, you can get somebody else to do that. Because you will go to this hyper kid and tell him, hey, last time you had your turn, how about Jack this time? Because he needs to get his turn too. And something like that, you know. But I know it's difficult. There's no, you know, a formula fits all. It's just thoughts. All we're trying to do is put thoughts in your mind so you have all this in your mind and you can grab onto whatever applies to you. Okay. Speaking of overtime, it's... Next one. We spoke about this, the level of understanding, right? On each person. Yeah, we discussed that. Their individual needs, questions, and problems. And it is very important to have prior outreach with each student and with the parents so that you are delivering the message on an individual basis. It's not simply a class, a one formula fits all. You need to understand the background of each person in your class. through outreach. Okay. Now, maintaining students' interest and confidence. We talked about changing techniques. Asking a challenging biblical question. Check previously memorized verses. And you know what? There's something very interesting. I note that in Sunday school, and I'm not saying that's bad, it's very good. What I'm going to say about what we do is very good. It's not a criticism. We usually ask the students, how many times have you been to confession? How many times have you been to communion? Did you go to church last week? We ask these questions. These are very important questions. You know, don't get me wrong. But let me tell you something. A long time ago, a very long time ago, I was in Boy Scouts in school. And in Boy Scouts, we used to have every day a 15-minute meeting during lunchtime. And that was not a religious meeting. It was Boy Scouts. Do you know what the first question we had to answer every day to the senior Boy Scout? The first question, can you guess what he would ask? Just a wild guess. His first question. I'll tell you, in the interest of time. The first question he asked every day, what good deed have you done yesterday? Okay? The first question he asked us, what good deed have you done yesterday? And we had to answer. At the end of the class, what good deed are you planning today? Now, is good deed about Christian faith? Of course it is. Our faith is built on loving my neighbor. That's good deeds, right? So what I'm saying is, perhaps it's a good entry point for my Sunday school class. Just ask them, what good deed have you done yesterday? Again, what good deed are you planning to do today? Right? Which is not to take away from confession and liturgy. All of these are wonderful things. But our faith is built on loving my neighbor, right? Good deeds. Good deeds. Can I ask my students, what good deeds have you done? I think it's a good idea. So that's talking about changing techniques. And there are other options like using music, visual aids like this, arts, pairing them together or grouping them together in the class. And check for signs of boredom. It is very important to look and see if anyone is bored or has no interest, fidgeting around, you know, looking at his watch and so on. Then I would talk to this. What would you rather talk about? Forget the lesson, right? We're delivering a lesson, and here is someone who is bored. I would ask you, would you like to talk about something? Tell me, what's the question in your mind? Let's discuss it. Maybe it's useful. You see? And the most important thing is, do not read. It's not a good idea to walk in class with a piece of paper and read to them. Don't do that. Don't do that. It gives a bad impression. It distracts them. And you must know, go in, you must go in. You know your stuff. Do not read it. Okay. Any comments on that? Okay. Next. Eliminate inadvertent or bad habits in class. Yeah, we said that. Don't do bad habits. You must try to think of what it is your bad habits are. Examples of bad habits are repeating the same word or expression. Or saying, that kind of thing is irritating. Try not to do that. There is another very important thing is the use of language. Please don't be upset with me, but I know that we sometimes have difficulty delivering in a certain language, whether it be English or French. So I think it is very important, before I walk into my classroom, to know exactly the correct terms, the correct expressions to use, because they will pick on you. If they've been brought up here, and they know certain words, and if you say the wrong word once, they will remember it for you for life. Okay? So So make sure you're using the correct usage, the correct terms and expressions. Okay, any thoughts on this? Sorry? Okay. Okay, the preparation and knowledge of subject. We discussed last time, I think, your sources of input. What it is that you must consult before going into the Sunday school lesson. Of course, we have the Word of God, we have our liturgical book, we have the books of the fathers and so on. But you know what? In today's world, today's day and age, our children, or your brothers and sisters, if you will, they're growing up in a different ambiance, completely different ambiance from when we were in Sunday school, okay? They have all sorts of things around them, in the classroom, on the street, on the bus, everywhere. And they see and hear all sorts of things. So I'm not saying it is good to be familiar with that. I'm saying I need to know this. So when I deliver my message to the different backgrounds, I know exactly what they're talking about. I know this boy sits in school beside whom and what it is that's worrying him. I know this girl, what difficulty she's going through. It is a different world that we're living in today from the world we grew up in. So we must know this. We must know what the current problems are. Otherwise, again, I lose credibility. I will go and talk to them. They will say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And once a student thinks that, it will be difficult to bring back his attention. Any thoughts on this? Okay. And we discussed the last point also, why are we learning this? It is very important to walk in and say, I am teaching this lesson, we're learning this because. You're learning this today because this is how you will apply it. I'm not here just to waste your time or to say nice things. It is things that you will use, things that you need to apply, and this is how. Okay. And God bless. And if you have any questions or discussions, let's discuss. What do you think? As a whole, do you have a question or a point to make? Something we forgot? Next time, God willing, we will talk about preparing the lesson. What goes into lesson preparation? How do I prepare a lesson? This is how to deliver. That's the mechanics of it, if you will. But then how to prepare is very important. So, any thoughts? Yes, Fabio.